You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and God, we've opened thy love letter, thy word. So deal with us, Spirit of God, that we might have the benefit of all that is to be said in your grace and mercy. So deal with us, give us an understanding heart. And our Father, we're going to thank you for all things. And as the rain falls, our God, again, your thoughts to us are more than the sand of the sea, more than the raindrops, beyond our understanding, God, but it is so. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We're looking at John chapter 16 in particular, and the believers, as we share together, were to be encouraged in the light of seeing everything terminate, as we shared in chapter 16, Christ going to the cross, the ending of everything as far as they could see. And God gives them encouragement. And we share together in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, necessary, profitable, necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So you cannot have the benefit of all that I have going to do on Calvary's cross, die, be buried, and rise again. You're not going to have any of that benefit unless the Spirit of God comes. And I have to go away, even though you don't understand it, even though you may not like it, but it has to happen so that he can make possible all that Christ is making possible by his death on the cross. So in that wonderful, wonderful thing, and we share together that God's going to do that, and we share together that the issue, Christ dies for us, that doesn't save us, but that pays the penalty, but it can't save us. We can't believe on a dead Christ. We can't do that. It's not going to go anywhere. There is nowhere to go. It's because he died, took us to the cross and was buried and rose again. And it's his rising again that is the issue. That is what the world doesn't want to hear or understand, that he risen, the only sign he's going to give them, the sign of the prophet Jonah, as we shared. Now, so having said that, and we made it hopefully a little helpful this morning, that the resurrection is the issue. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That's what I need to understand. That's how I get saved. He died for me and he rose again. I have to receive someone, God, in Christ, who is alive and well on planet Earth and in the eternal heaven. God, you can't do anything. So I have to be able to receive him. Now, and that's the whole issue, the whole wonderful existence that God is able to bring the comfort and encouragement to come alongside to our aid as an ally, etc. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you, and you're going to where's the comfort coming from? From God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Christ died and rose again. And that's why. That's the comfort. That's the source of that comfort. And they couldn't understand. He didn't. Remember, we shared all those things, so without going back. He didn't answer them in a human way. If you just do this and think that way and think positive. He didn't do any of that. None of that. And he tries to help them. And we shared all that. So God, well, how do you help us? The same way, no different. We just get caught up in the flesh, because that's how we look for survival, success, management, and manipulation, and we do all the different things to try to survive and succeed in our daily life. And God says, no, I don't go by that. I go by God's wonderful person, and I comfort them. So when we read verse 8, and when he, the Spirit of God, has come, he will reprove, convict, convince, to test, to prove that people are wrong. They're absolutely wrong about God. That's what they are. Wonderfully, awesomely wrong about God. So therefore, in the process, he's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That's what he's going to do. And in convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, the Spirit of God is going to go and help us in every way to understand that God is going to go and cover what? What did God do for us? The only witnesses that God has, we are his witnesses. Acts 1:8. So therefore, having power, authority, to have that, to be power, for what? To be his witness. Witness about what? It isn't about your job, it isn't about your health, it isn't about something else. It's about God's wonderful saving grace. And that's what God's going to do. So the Spirit of God's going to go and use believers outside, believers that is not there. We shared all that this morning. Communism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They have no room, no place for God. They're in darkness and they don't want to have any light at all. And they don't. They refused it. They don't have it. It doesn't mean that the heart that seeks God couldn't find him. It doesn't mean that. God looks up and down, as we shared in Chronicles, up and down the whole world for what? To show himself strong in whomever would believe. But they have to look for God. That's how Abraham got saved. Who told Abraham? He's living in all unsaved, terrible idolatry. That's what he's living in. That's how he lives. He gets saved. He gets saved. Why? He looked to the stars and said, God, you made them. And God, he started out seeking God, and God took him all the way. The creation bears witness to who he is if you'll pay attention to it. Now, so having said that, the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And you see the little word in verse 8 of O-V preposition. The little preposition. And it's used in verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11. And the word of, little preposition, is a little thing that says to circle around, like I'm going to circle around the thing. This is the mic is the center of the attention of concerning circling around, and the I'm circling around, surrounding this, so that the whole center of attention of all that I'm doing is looking at this, and all that I'm doing is going to focus on this. God is going to circle around sin and focus on it. Now, how so? And that's the word, of. It's repeated 6 times, so you don't have to guess. Same thing over and over again. Now, so in verse 9, of sin, surrounding sin, because they believe not on me. And they don't believe. So they needed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as their Savior. And the conviction that they needed to believe is God's going to do that by showing them the sin. What sin? The sin that they didn't believe. They should have believed. And we share together all that. We can't do it again this without losing time. That sin, John 8, you want far away, I'll do at least that one. John chapter 8, over again. And reminding us in John chapter 8, verse 24. The Lord Jesus said to them, I said therefore, 24, unto you that you shall die in your sins, plural. For if you believe not that I am he, I am, he's in italics, I am that I am, Exodus chapter 3. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. The sin is unbelief. Why? Because Christ died, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So that's why we can be born physically, because God made it possible. Instead of being, we're born spiritually dead, we can become alive. Otherwise, God wouldn't let us be born. So all human beings are born, and God, Christ, died for them. He died. So he doesn't bring up that again. What does he ask from Abraham all the way down? He asks people not to fix their relationship, mother and father. You fix this and fix that. You were better to your mother or something. It doesn't do that. Each time he says, no matter how bad killing 50 people, believe. Believe, 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 believe. Repent, re-believe. That's what he says. Why? Because he's covered the bases. That's important. Hang on. And therefore you need to believe. And we shared those things. We're condemned already, John 3 and 18, because we have not believed. And that's the issue. The sin, singular, is you need to believe, because Christ has done everything. Christ, and John 8, 24, if you don't believe, you'll die in your sins. Your old nature, you're going to die just like you are, dead in sins. Think of Genesis 2:17. If today you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should die. And that's dying, you shall die. You're going to die instantly in your relationship to God. You're going to die physically, they did. And if you don't get saved, you're going to die spiritually, the second death. You're going to die the deaths. So if you don't believe in me and don't receive what I've done, you're going to die in your sins. That's how people die, separated from God. They die in their sins. That's what they do. They die lost. They didn't have to, but they chose to. Now, and having said that little bit, so looking at the word sin, keeping in mind, over just to catch that so we can enjoy it better, over to John chapter 8, chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, picking up in thought, and you're familiar, but watch how it comes together. John chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They missed the mark. God is the standard. They couldn't measure up to the standard. They didn't measure up to the standard because of sin. And therefore, they sinned. Well, how did they sin? They missed the glory of God. How did Adam and Eve sin? Without going back there, Genesis and chapter 3 and verse 7, how did they sin? They had a unique relationship to God. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they lost, what did they lose? In an instant, they lost their relationship to God. What is sin? The absence of a relationship to God. Easy. You don't have a relationship to God that saves you. And he saves you. You've rejected the only Savior who saves you. And therefore, Romans 3:23, Romans chapter 5. So, God's wonderful glory, we want to have that relationship to God. And in Romans chapter 5, picking up in verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us. How so? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died. He's the only Savior. Sliding down to verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam. In Adam's sin we all follow suit. And death by sin, we all born, but we all die. And as so death passed upon all men, why? Because all have sinned. They've all sinned. That's what they've done. Now, having said that, since we're all sinners, therefore, and the wages of sin is death. Thus, chapter 6. And in chapter 6, you're going to recall verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. So you don't have to guess about it. What does death do? Death causes, sin causes death. For the wages of sin is death. Why did Christ have to die? Because he bore the sins of your heart and mine. And on the cross, he died. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Christ had to die. That doesn't save us. It takes care of the penalty. It takes care of the penalty. He did that. So he covered the bases. God himself covered the bases. That's why forever we keep saying, reminding yourself, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Christ died before you were ever created, before angels were ever created. That's what he did. And therefore, in verse 23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's wonderful, wonderful provision. And therefore, apart from God, apart from a relationship to God, apart from one, you can't have one without the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, then we have no life, we have no light, we have none of those things. But we need to keep in mind always one place that will help us over, if you would, in 2 Timothy, of all kinds of places, just to remind us of God's wonderful care. Obviously God cares because he did that before you were ever created. And knowing, he knows all about you from start to finish. So God did that. So what he did, God so loved the world. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and you'd recall, if I can, down to verse 4. Who, God, who will have all men to what? Be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The truth will set you free. So God, what are you going to do? I died for everybody, and you can do that all over the place. So you don't have to guess. Say, well, some people that know, God did it for all. He is the propitiation for the sins, the satisfaction for the sins of the world. Boom. So that's all settled. So whether we don't have anything to say about it. We didn't make the decision. We don't do it. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God's going to go in his wonderful grace and help us. So looking to God, what are you asking God for us? Just to demonstrate it, you know it. Oh, but if I can, to John chapter 5. All kinds of ways, 1,000 ways to do it. But this is just one of them to make it easy. God, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing. And may I pick up, please, in verse 24, you know it. Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's what we're doing, and believeth, that's what you're going to do. You believeth what? We're believing, what's the Bible about? The Bible, 66 books of the Bible about the Lord God. So he's the only God and the only Savior. He's the Creator. Therefore, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, what happens? They have everlasting life. What else? They shall not come into condemnation. What else? It's passed from death unto life. All of that's real. All of that's real. When you believe, you have everlasting life, a unique relationship to God that lasts forever. You're not going to come into condemnation or judgment. And you've gone from death, a state of death, to a state of life. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So God, you do all of these wonderful things. Now, just take a little thought over to Deuteronomy. And we'll do it a little differently now, just to see it. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. And you will note in chapter 4, may go directly. Now, what do you know about Israel? Israel is the Jews. Jacob left Palestine and went to Egypt. He stayed there, or the family, Israel did. They grew into a great nation, 430 years. So we know, we're told, they spent 430 years in Egypt. Now, how did they get out of Egypt? They're slaves. They've been a long time without any sacrifice. They have no prophet, nobody, 400 years. So each generation is further and further away. Jacob, Isaac, and them, they're here. But when you come down here, of all this, their sons and their sons and their sons, boy, they don't know beans. They're so far away. It's us looking back to 1776. And we're so far away from 1776. They were so far away. So here they are. Now God, they have no connection. Now God, until Moses comes along. Now, in the process, God, what are you going to do? How do you get them out of Egypt? That's what I want to know. What did they're awful. They're slaves all over the place. Everything. Idolatrous in the thinking. Now, God, what are you going to do? You're going to ask him to what? To believe you and follow Moses. That's what we're going to do. How are they going to get out? We didn't ask about how bad and who's the good guys and the bad guys. No, they're going to get out. So how do they get out? They're going to just go out. And when they go out, they're going to go into wilderness. How are they going to go and get across the Jordan, Red Sea, the Jordan? How are they going to get across the Jordan? They're going to look to God. That's how they got out of Egypt, looking to God. And he introduced himself at Mount Sinai. And they went, how they get out of the wilderness, the land in the desert for 40 years. They look to God, and God with the ark in the Jordan, and that's how they get out. God didn't ask them whether they were good or bad, because we already know they weren't very good. And God said they weren't very good. And Moses even said, before he dies, he said, after my death, you're going to get worse. You don't believe, and after my death, you're going to get worse. So he already told them. So God, how do they get out? They just had to believe God. So God, are you ever bringing up all the stuff about their life? No. Just telling them to believe and pay attention to what I'm doing. So therefore, Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says it for us, verse 37. 4 and 37 of Deuteronomy. And because he loved thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Not only did he bring you out by believing, verse 38, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to what? To bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Now how did they get out? They believed God. How did they ever cross the Jordan and possess their different lots for their possession? They believed God. That's all. Now, over if you would please. That's all they did. Over to Colossians. Then Colossians and chapter 2. May I remind you? Now you know, without turning there, John 1:12, as many as what? As many as receive him, to them gave he the right, the power, to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Okay? Receive. How are you going to get what? How do you become a child of God? Receive him. Did he ask about your background, about your anything? Past, present, or future? He didn't ask. He said, receive me as your Savior, and you'll become a child of God. That was pretty easy, wasn't it? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore, there's your little verb, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, how do you live for Christ? How do they cross the Jordan? They just believed. The battles are there, 7 years of war and all of that, no question. But all they did, believe. How did we get saved? Believe. What's the sin? The Spirit of God's going to reprove, going to convict you of sin because you don't believe me, not because of anything else. So therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, how are we supposed to live? As simply as we got saved, by believing. What have we got to do? Fix my life, change. No, you got to fix my life. No. You got saved. You had zero to offer God. Zero. You were lost, dead in trespasses and sin. And God, you allowed God, if you got saved, to save you. That's an awesome thing God did. Wonderfully thing God did for you. And you didn't do one blessed thing. You didn't contribute anything. Zero. You just received him. And how are you supposed to live? The same way. That's what we don't do. That's why the Lord Jesus will say, except you abide in me and I abide in you, without, John 15:5, without me you can what? Do nothing. That's all. But, no. It's so simple. But we don't do it. We're looking to manage, manipulate. Now, God, what are you going to do? You're going to show the world by believers, by your witnesses. Nowhere else, wherever believers are, that's what you're going to, they're your witnesses. And if you have a whole country like Turkey and others, where they know believers, as it were, churches and stuff, you don't have anything. It's all dark, like China and that. Darkness. We love darkness rather than light. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to go, and God, in your wonderful grace, you're going to go and take Israel and give them an awesome privilege. And you didn't ask about how 400 years in Egypt went. You didn't ask them about anything. You just told them to believe you. And that's all. Keep believing me. Believe. Do what I say. Who I am, I'm the comforter. I'll take you where you need to go. But, no, I'll take you where you need to go. But, what about, no, I need to, no. Therefore, Romans chapter 6. And in Romans in chapter 6, picking up, please, if I may, again. What do we know? In Romans chapter 6, if I can, verse 2. In the light of the context. God forbid, how shall we that are dead, spiritually dead, we say, when Christ died, we died. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, we have a brand new life, a brand new relationship to God that helps us be able to what? To overcome. How do we overcome? By simply believing. Believing what? Verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into, identified with, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, since we're baptized into his death, Christ took us to the cross, that's right, and took our place and died. Therefore, verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism, identification into death. When Christ died, we died. He didn't die for himself. He died to cover the sins of all humans. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should what? Walk in newness of life. Because God did something. He died and gave you, and all you had to do is believe him. And God would give you a unique relationship to him, eternal life, not condemned, passed from death unto life. Wow. And verse 5, 4, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So there's no question, God. No question at all. Sliding down to verse 11. Likewise, what are we going to do? As we know, what we do? Nothing. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Calculate it. Calculate your unique relationship to God. That's what you do. How do you calculate it? Christ, when Christ died, he took me to the cross. That's what he did. I just read it in Romans 6. And likewise, reckon it, calculate, compute yourselves to be dead. That's what you do. You think, understand what I am. Now, if I took you from outside and brought you inside to my castle and made you a prince, you're outside, outside there, and I let you come in, I bring you in the house, I adopt you and bring you in, and I make you a prince. And you're used to being outside in the dump and everything. So I make you a prince. I make you a prince, right? You're a prince. Now what are you going to do? Now what did you do to make that happen? How did you make yourself a prince? You didn't. I did. How did you become a child of God? Who did it? God did. God did it. So therefore, the prince. So what now? What I need to what? Understand. I'm outside. My whole history is outside the castle. But now, when I go outside the castle, I'm not going outside as I used to. I'm going outside as a prince. When did that happen? When I went into the castle. He made me a prince. So when I come out, the same people look at me, work, home, school, they see me, they smell me, everything, whatever you want to do, and you look at me. But you don't talk the same. No, you think of all the epistles, Peter and that. You don't talk, no, you're different. Right, I'm a prince. I'm a prince, that's what I am. I'm a prince. That's what he just said. Understand what? You're a son. You're a believer. Practice being a believer. That's what he's saying. You can do it. Can I practice being a prince? Yes, I can. What happens if I choose not to? I'm used to the language. I'm used to the people out there in the dump and everything. I'm going to live like that. I know how to adapt into the dump. I know how to think like them because I'm part of them. I have an old nature. That's right. But God has made me a prince. And in being a prince, I made you a prince. God makes us believers, saved, sons, children of God. So what am I going to reckon it? That's what I'm doing. I'm reckoning. I'm reckoning I'm a prince. That's all. What's so hard about that? Huh? If you go to work and you're going to come to Joe's, whatever you're going to do out there, and I'm going to give you a special uniform, and I'm going to make you a general. How's that? You like that? So I'm going to put a uniform on you, put some stars up there, whatever you do, and you're going to make you a general. And you're going to be a general. So when you go out, they're going to salute you. You're a general. God, you do that. That's right. We reckon it. That's what, we didn't do it. God, just the uniform. I'm a general. I never went to University of Iraq or anything. I never did those things. Wow, but I'm a general. Reckon. What's so hard about that? Either you're a child of God, or I'm a child of God. Reckon it so. That's easy. Be it. That's what I am. God said so. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if I can, in chapter 6, and, oh, well, before I do that, yeah, before I'll do that, keep going. Chapter 6, and in verse 18. Being made, being then made free, 6 and 18 Romans. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, God, when did you set us free? When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God set us free. So we have an awesome, awesome freedom. That's right. We're to exercise that freedom. We're to experience it. Chapter 7. And in chapter 7, you would recall, verse 18. For I know that in me, this is Paul looking at his life. Paul, God helped Paul. He put him out in the all alone and let him think about it. He said, boy, and then he gets real about his nature, his life, his lifestyle. He used to go and kill everybody and imprison Christians, etc. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I don't know how to do that. My old nature is terrible. How terrible? Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So I got an old nature. Spirit of God, you're going to use that? Uh-huh. I'm going to use it. That's what I'm going to do. I want you to make sure you understand you've got one old nature. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, so then, with the mind, I myself, my thinking, serve the law of God. With the flesh, my old nature, all the tendencies of word, thoughts, and deeds, and everything, belong still in me, the law of sin. Verse 8, chapter 8. Therefore, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, God gives us a brand new relationship, eternal life, to the Lord in Christ Jesus, who we believed. And in Christ Jesus, made me free, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So God, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to enjoy being free. I'm going to be a son. I'm going to be a prince. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to practice being a child of God. How? As easy as I got saved. I received him as my Savior. I'm going to practice what? That's all I did. He made me a child of God. I'm going to practice being a child of God because he did it. That's what he said. I'm going to just believe him. What did you do? Zero. What did God do? Everything to make it happen. So therefore, having that in mind and looking to God, so here's a wonderful, wonderful freedom that we're to enjoy. Secondly, that's a freedom. Spirit of God wants you to what? Experience and enjoy being a saved sinner. That's what I want you to do. You don't have to cover for it. You don't have to excuse it. You don't have to play a game with it mentally. Just thank God that he saved you and you're a prince, as it were. You're a child of God. That's all. Just do that. That's what, Spirit of God, how are you going to go? I'm going to use you and you're going to enjoy being saved. That's what you're going to do. And you've got an old nature, instead of being up in the dumps, depression and discouragement and all the other stuff that we go up and down in our dumb mind and heart about people, persons, places. We don't have to do that. I already got it. So that you get to the point, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, whoso deliver me of sin. You did something nasty. And you just say, answer to them, I am Nancy. Nasty. I am nasty. That's what I am. So there's everything about me. You want, there's no part of me that isn't nasty. So what do you got to cover? Nothing. You got to say, discover something. Who cares? That's why God saved me. He brought me into it. I believed, and God did a wonderful thing and set me free. And that's what I'm walking with. And that's what the Spirit of God looks for. The Spirit of God's going to make you understand and enjoy being saved, being forgiven. So you just don't go up in the down depression and all the dumb discouragement, disappointment. Whoop, we ride all the thing. We do it. We don't have to do that. We don't have to cry, keep excusing ourselves and covering ourselves to get through it. Secondly, would you please go with me over to, Isaiah. Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, God encouraged the believing Israelite. The prophet encourages Isaiah chapter 43. May I go directly to verse 45 for our thought. A consistent thought. Verse 25, I, God, how do you encourage Israel? And remember, chapter 43, verse 10, 43:10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. What for? That you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I want you to, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I want you to know that. That's all I want you to do. I want you to know me, believe, and I died for you. I'm the Savior. I saved you. Verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. That's what I'm going to do. But that's what we live with them. We're in them. Oh, but God said, I died for you. I took care of those sins. And I did it for my sake, for my honor and my glory. Chapter 44. If I can. Verse 22. You'll see it again. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Now, so we don't talk about our sins. We don't talk about our stupidity. We don't talk about all the dumb things that God, I confess my, that has to take that in another section. We don't get into that. We're looking to God and thanking God that he saved us. He died on the cross for everything that I could word, thought, deed, and do from the day I started my first breath till the day I take my last breath. He covered the whole bases, covered them all. Now, therefore, over if I can, in your Bible, to Ephesians. And allow me to go in Ephesians. And remember now in John 1 and 29, looking at the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is going to say, how does he identify Jesus Christ? They want to know, and John says, that man, he's the Lamb of God, 129, that taketh away the sins of the world. Taketh away to pick them up and carry them off. That's what he did. To pick them up and carry them off. What? The sins of the world. He took them. He took them in his own body upon the tree. Now, so here, God, so we're free. Free. We're free to be able to be a child of God, a son of God, able to be all that God would have us to be simply because God makes it possible. That's all. And all we do is thank God and let it happen. The Spirit of God is going to do that. If I don't want to enjoy that, then I don't convict any. The Spirit of God is going to convict the people around me at work, at home, at school, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if I want to be a stoop and cover it up, then that. But I'm supposed to what? Be his witnesses. So God is able to point to the believing heart. And the Spirit of God's going to what? Cause the believing heart to enjoy being saved. And instead of trying to cover all the dumb things about our thoughts and words and deeds, we don't have to do that. We're free. We're forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1. And may I pick up, please, directly in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. What do we have? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's what we have. When Christ died, he took all of our sin in his own body in the tree, and he's done with it. Is he done with it? What sin is he going to bring up in your life? He isn't. He finished it. He crucified it. He's done. Why do we keep doing it? Because we remember and we're part of it, and we don't enjoy it. He's finished. forgiven. He won't bring it up. You will find it. You won't find it. Tell God how the bad things you did this week. You won't find that. Now, so therefore, we're forgiven. That's an awesome thing, to be forgiven. Now, if you don't realize you're a sinner, and you don't realize you have an old nature, like we just read and thought about, then it's awful hard to be forgiving, isn't it? Forgiven. Because if I said, are you enjoying being forgiven? And you would have to say, well, what did I do this week? Right? Did I say something wrong? I'm trying to think why I should be forgiven. That's how we think. You know it. And that's why we don't enjoy forgiveness. Because we don't realize you got an old nature that Christ has forgiven, period. And the old nature didn't go away. And God covers us every single day by his death on the cross, reckoning ourselves dead indeed to enjoy it. Do you understand? So you enjoy that wonderful, wonderful relationship to God because you're a sinner. And therefore, we need to be forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. If you don't think you ever did anything wrong, and if you don't think anything about all that you do, then you don't have a problem, do you? Because everyone else has to forgive you, right? You don't have to forgive anybody because you aren't enjoying forgiveness. Chapter 4, verse 32. And in Ephesians and chapter 4, you remember directly 4 and 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, and there's that word, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Okay. And I'll go back to the before Christ was crucified. Shall we forgive them? They asked him, shall we give them seven times? And Christ said, try 70 times seven, forgive them. See? But you don't say that to us. No, no. I want you to forgive. 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 It's an awesome, wonderful experience to be forgiven. But I can't be forgiven if I don't own up. I got a lousy old nature that you have forgiven. If I don't think there's anything to forgive, I'm not going to enjoy being forgiven, am I? So God, I enjoy being forgiven. I thank God. And what's the standard? Verse 32, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven, aorist, hath forgiven you. God has already forgiven you for everything you thought a word to said this day. And all that you're going to say next week, he's forgiven it. Are you practicing that? I'm being real. This is a big problem because we don't do it. We don't understand. I'm being forgiven every single second for the rest of my days. Until I get to heaven, then we don't have an old nature anymore. And you're being forgiven every single second of your life. And then you wonder about forgiving anybody that says stupid things, does stupid things, thinks stupid things. I don't bother with that. And I literally say that to you for real. I don't have a problem. I have no problem. I don't have anything that isn't forgiven. Zero. I don't have anything against anybody anywhere. I don't care what they say, do, or think. Totally immaterial. Totally immaterial. God has saved me, saved you from such things. I don't even think like that. I don't even want to think like that. That's the reality of things. It's a wonderful thing. I'm forgiven. And I don't carry anything. And that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? We're being forgiven. What's the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to show that you are freed from your old nature, your sin, and you are forgiven. Do you know? Over to Colossians. I'm going to do it again. It's so important. It's critical. Because to the extent you don't understand it, you aren't enjoying being forgiven. And that's what God's going to point out to the world, the people they work with, school, home, wherever you want. What is he going to point out? There's a forgiven sinner. There's a forgiven man. Why is he forgiven? Because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to convict the world of sin. That's what I'm going to do. How are you going to do so? In believers. And believers are going to be convicted of sin. They aren't messing around about sin. They aren't even playing with it. It's clear cut. Hang on. Colossians 1, chapter 2. And verse 14. Verse 13, better. And unto you being dead in your sins, and the Christ died on the cross, took our sins to the cross, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you, what? All trespasses. That's what he did. Chapter 3, verse 13. Again. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. You be forgiving. Practice being forgiven. And the Spirit of God will point to you. He's going to use it to enjoy being forgiven. Enjoy being freed from sin. Enjoy being forgiven. And that's what God's going to point out. Whosoever's the witness, my witnesses. They're witnesses out there, work, at home, and school. They're believers that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're enjoying being saved. Now, they aren't walking around with a big sign on them or something that says, repent or whatever. They're just enjoying being saved. That's what they're doing. And when you enjoy being saved, God enjoys saving you, as it were. And it's going to show up, isn't it? Sure it is. The world can't do that. The world's in a very lousy place. And the stress is going to get tremendous and more and more and more. And the way to try to manipulate and manage is going to be more and more and more. Now, having said that little bit, over if I can, a way that you know and make it easy. 1 John. I hope you got a little bit. Otherwise, we're just going to be churchgoers and Christians and God bless us, but we aren't going to know. We're his witnesses. And the Spirit of God, you want to say, I'm going to share a verse with somebody, and that's good. I'm going to share a track with somebody. That's good. But wouldn't it be good if your heart was right? You would be the witness, not the track, not your words. You are the witness. You are the evidence that the world is wrong in rejecting Jesus Christ. He is God. He's the only Savior. And the world is dead wrong, and the Spirit of God is convicting men, the world, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. How? By you. You're saved. You believed. God's going to show that to the world in a most wonderful way. 1 John chapter 1, as you would watch it. You say it, you know it, listen to it. Watch it. 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Present tense. It keeps cleansing us. So we got an old nature that's just, absolutely. And it needs to be cleansed. Aha! It needs to be forgiven. It has been. I'm practicing it. So I enjoy being saved. So I'm not looking at myself. I'm not looking at my history. I'm not looking at my future. I'm looking at a great God who did something wonderful for me, for us. And therefore, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we have to confess what? We're sinners. That's how you enjoy being saved. Christ took your old nature and died and forgave it. It's been forgiven. You're set free. And we need to what? Be conscious of it all the time. And enjoy being what? So you don't feel, I'm going to think good thoughts today. No, I don't know whether they're good or bad or what they are. I'm going to leave them and just thank God and do everything I can, thanking God, trusting God in everything. As I received him as my Savior, I'm going to walk with him, and God has to help us in every way. Therefore, Therefore, I don't want to deceive myself. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the world is, and the word is not in us. So I don't want to say that I'm not a sinner. I am a rotten, lousy sinner, without any question. I'm not going to cover it. I'm not going to have excuses about you're better than I'm worse, and I'm better than you or worse than others or whatever. No, I don't do that. I don't even want to think like that. That's wrong. I'm going to look to God. He's forgiven us. And if I say that isn't true, I make God a liar, because God said you got an old nature that I died for, and I've forgiven you, and you got it. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, when's it going to go away? It isn't going to go away till I take you home. So you got an old nature, so don't try to fool with the thing. Thank God it saves us from it. And therefore, and if we goof, and we do things, then what are we going to practice what? Being forgiven. How do we practice being forgiven? So the world looks at you, and you just did something awful. Oh, I did. But with God, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, I'm going to confess that was wrong. That was wrong. I don't ask for forgiveness. I already got it. God, it's wrong. It's wrong. And God, and I walk in the light, verse 7, and the work in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me from all sin. I confess my sin. I'm clean. I'm done. Am I going to sit and moan about it for 3 days? I have a pity party. Pity party, that's pride standing on its head. Pity party, I'm going to have pride? No, I'm not. No pity. I'm done. It's a stupid thing I did. It was wrong, and done. That took 2 seconds. I'm finished. I'm finished with it. All done. Easy. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, are you getting a little bit to enjoy being a sinner, saved by grace? The only sin I'm going to convict the world of, he said, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's why they're lost. And you are a believer, and you have believed, and you have been forgiven, freed, cleansed, everything. And you've got an old nature, and you're proving you have an old nature. So therefore, closing, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And you will notice, please, in 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up, if I can, verse 15. I'll read verse 14 since it's so relevant. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't get all locked in and set up about everything. There's plenty to be afraid about, plenty to be wondering about in these days. And other countries have it hugely, Afghanistan and others, and we have it minimal, but we're getting it. We're headed there. If they don't stop this, then it's gonna spread. So therefore, verse 15, but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your heart. That's what we're doing. And be ready always to give an answer to everyone that answers you, that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. As you practice being saved, enjoy being saved, and you're his witnesses for real, and the Spirit of God is helping you enjoy being sin forgiven, freed, and everything, helping you enjoy it as you go through everything, you're not getting yourself tied up with yourself. And as you do so, it shows up, and they want to know the hope that's in you. The hope that's in you. Not just hope. What are you asking? Their hope. What's running us? The wonderful, 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 wonderful. Over to chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively, what kind of hope? Full of hope. What's the hope about? How did he give it to us? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's our testimony? We have been crucified with Christ. We're risen. We're witnesses of his resurrection. That's what we are. And then Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They're going to ask, what is it that you so keep positive about stuff in a good way? It's because of your hope. Ah, where's the hope? It's in Christ Jesus who saved me. But you need to understand, if you don't believe, you're lost in your sin. You need to believe. The world is going to convict my family, my friends, my enemy, everywhere they go, is going to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because I'm going to be a sinner saved by grace. That's what I'm going to be. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. I think it's very rarely enjoyed and very rarely understood. And why could you say that? Just take a look at the world around you. That's what you do. Take a look at the people around you. And you'll know. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, that we can do this wonderful thing in remembering you, being thankful that you've made it all possible. All we did is receive, all we did is believe, and you do the rest of it. Thank you very, 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 very much. In Christ's name, amen.